Well, the Melbourne Comedy Festival, one of the three largest comedy festivals in the world, is in full swing, and that means that funny people from all over the globe are strutting their stuff in Melbourne. And I'm very pleased to say that one of the rising stars of the international comedy scene joins us now on RN. Lara Ricote took out the 2022 Best Newcomer Award at one of the other big three comedy festivals of the world, Edinburgh, and she's back in Melbourne for the second time with her new offering called Little Tiny Wet Show. Lara, welcome to RN.
Hey, Julian, thank you so much for having me.
It's a great pleasure. Now, your official bio describes you as equal halves Mexican, American and Venezuelan. Tell us a little bit about your background, Lara.
Yeah, I'm born in the United States of America, but that was only because my family went over. We were in Mexico at the time. My mom's Mexican and my dad's Venezuelan, and I grew up in Miami, Florida. Heard of it? I grew up there. And then I now live in Amsterdam. I've been living in the Netherlands for like 7 years.
Well, without wanting to imply anything by this question, why do you live in the Netherlands, though?
I live there because, first, it's really nice to live there. And I have the Spanish passport from my dad's dad from the Civil War in Spain. And he went over to Latin America, which was great for that moment. And then now it's not good anymore. So then we've done the switch around. And now I am going back. And I have the passport. And I was able to go to university in the Netherlands, which was like $2,000 a year in comparison to in the United States, that it was like the cheapest one was like $38,000.
What did you study in the Netherlands?
I studied political theory. It was like a political science degree, and then I just I did a lot more of the political theory because I love deliberation.
did studying political theory inspire your move to comedy, Lara?
It was kind of it was happening in parallel. I started doing improv and then I was like, what? This is the most fun thing I've ever done. I can just play instead. And then I finished my degree and then I started doing comedy on the side. And it was kind of like, I didn't really know what the hell I was going to do with political theory. It was kind of abstract. And comedy was just like, I could produce shows right away and get on. And it was such a small scene in the Netherlands because who is doing comedy in English in the Netherlands? Me and 12 other people. And then it just meant that I just got a lot of stage time and like applied to a competition and then in London, and then that changed my life. And then I was able to do comedy for a living now, which is crazy.
It seems that things have really taken off for you. You won that Best Newcomer Award, as I mentioned, in Edinburgh. That show was called, it's a little bit hard to say on radio, but it's Girl Latinx Deaf. We've talked about the Latinx part, I suppose. I think we can work out the girl part. But could you tell us about the last part of the title?
Yeah, I'm hard of hearing in my ears. And I know I don't need to specify where, but people ask. what they call it, that's where it mostly manifests. It's in my ears. I've been hard of hearing for forever, since I was little. My older sister and I, we both are. And now I can hear you really well because I got sponsored with some amazing hearing aids. And so I can do stuff like this now, which is great. But I've been hard of hearing my whole life. And so I just especially in the comedy industry, they love to ask you about all the stuff that makes you have a unique point of view. And so my agent was like asking me if that was going to be in my hour. Everyone was like, oh, yeah, because you'll talk about being hard of hearing. And I was like, well, you know what? Then I'll just name it, all of the things that make me my unique point of view. And I'll just do that a bit ironically, but I did do it. And it was kind of nice because it was like a bit of a political thing to do, to name it the thing that I'm going to do. And then also I got to do all the jokes that I wanted to do because people came to see the show, because you're like, and what is a girl who's Latin American and deaf say? And I got stuff to say. So I said a bunch of stuff and then people liked it last year and that was great. So then that got it, that won it. I didn't see that coming at all, but it really helped my life.
We're speaking with Lara Ricote on RN. She's back in Melbourne for the Comedy Festival with her new show, Little Tiny Wet Show. Lara, one of your shows in Melbourne is advertised as having captions on screen or available via audiences' phones.
Yeah.
How common in the comedy industry are accessibility features for people who are hard of hearing like that?
They're not completely uncommon, but they are, like, I think a lot of times, like, someone has to ask for them, and I ask for it because I have this particular need. So I have, like, yeah, basically, it's just so amazing to be able to go to a show that's captioned. And like a lot of times people that can't hear very well, they just miss out on stuff. And like that's part of our reality. We just miss out on things. And there's never like an extra backup to know what was said. And that's what's so nice about captions. And now people put them on on what they're watching a lot of times. It's become very normalized. And in the last like 2 years, it's become... I wouldn't say normal, because I only ever get to have one show that has a caption thing, and I've never actually watched a show that has caption, except like a theater play. I've seen like, unfortunately, Ayn Rand, The Fountainhead, that's what I watch. I watched that with captions. But that was amazing to be able to watch with captions.
Because I was wondering about the practical challenges of that. I mean, timing is so important in comedy. How do you manage that in terms of presenting a show and knowing that the captions are going to work for the timing of your routine?
Well, I mean, luckily, court stenographers do it. So it's like an incredible skill set that these people have, and they can transfer it over to comedy hours. And so like what I'll do is like I'll send them a recording of my show before and the script, because I'm usually pretty much on script. I write everything down that I'm going to say, and then like I'll figure it out and then write it in again. And they just kind of like type in their keyboards that are different keyboards. They're not the QWERTY. I don't think that's how you say it, but they're not QWERTY. They're different. And then they just like the words that you say a lot, they'll like type them out, and then they click them insanely fast, and they do it in the same way that you are saying it. So like they don't like reveal your punchlines. I mean, at least there's one woman, Claire Hill in the UK, who is incredible at it, and she's I've done it with her like 3 times, and she's going to do some Edinburgh shows of mine as well. And that's the way they do it. They do it through like getting people who are really good at
typing. It sounds like quite a challenge. I mean, I think the only thing that could be perhaps more stressful than doing a comedy show yourself is having to do the timing of the captions at the same time. Lara, it's been great speaking with you. Thank you so much for joining us on RN. That's Lara Ricote and her show, Little Tiny Wet Show, Baptism, is being performed at the Acme Swinburne Studio until the 21st of April as part of the Melbourne International Comedy Festival.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.